and chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. A whole bunch of things I wanted to preach on the first day, or first Sunday of our year here. But I thought this would be the most appropriate. Let's just look at the beginning. Here's the first Sunday of our year, and let's go ahead and look at the first day of creation in Genesis 1:1. You think there's only five verses, a preacher doesn't have enough to preach out on the first day. I'm writing a dissertation on the 6 days of creation is one of my chapters, and I've got like 30 pages written on this day alone, all right? So yeah, there's a lot here. The question is, could you stand it if I preached all 30 pages, I suppose? So I just want to be brief today and look at, again, God's creation. And we say a lot about creation, but I was amazed as I started going into the 6 days of creation, how much we really miss, how much we really haven't thought. And of course, that's true of all of God's Word. There's so many things that we read sometimes and we don't read. We read it sometimes, but we don't have ears to hear. We don't absorb sometimes what we're reading, and that's why, again, I recommend that you read through your Bible again this year, Genesis to Revelation, because there's always stuff in there that you've read before, but perhaps you've never really seen it before. And so there's some good stuff in this old book, and I don't want that we miss a single syllable out of the first day of God's creation. So let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, and let's go ahead and read. Let's do this. Let's read the first day of creation aloud and together out of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, first page of your Bible. First word, a grander opening has never been written to a book, and God wrote the book. And so let's go ahead and read together verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. We stand in awe of it and ask again, even as we look at the first few sentences of this, that you'd again touch our hearts and how great you are. Perhaps how small we are, but Father, that we could see your love for us, and we'll give you the praise. Thank you for those that are here to worship today, and ask again that you touch our worship, even with your words being read. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And as we look again at this creation account, I commented again and was always amazed that when we look at this account and say, boy, God didn't do much on the first day. But listen, that is a day's work right there again. And so we want us to understand some things that sometimes we haven't looked into when we look at a day's work for God here in the sixth day of creation. Let me start by saying that we believe every word of this book. Jesus believed every jot and tittle, okay? That's even stronger than what we believe, but we believe in every word. We believe in the verbal inspiration of God's word around here, that when God says it, he means it. Quite a while ago, Listerine, everyone remember Listerine? They said they could cure the common cold, and they got taken to a lawsuit and were sued, and they had to put out a correction to all of the years of advertisements that they ever did. And so they came up with this little ditty that they put on all of their advertisements and said this: Listerine, it says what it does, and it does what it says. And that was the little slogan that they put on all of their commercials and it was there by order of the courts of the United States of America to correct all their advertising. And so that's how they put a positive spin on their lies that they had done before. And I took that slogan and said, you know, that's what we need to say about God's Word. God says what He means, and He means what He said. When you read the Bible, He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. And boy, we need to learn that in a day and age when everybody is taking it upon themselves to change God's Word. It's good for us just to stop and say, no, we're going to stick with the old Bible and understand that God said what He meant and meant what He said. And so here when we read the account of His creation of the universe, His creation of the universe, uni means one, verse means a spoken phrase again, and so He created everything in a spoken phrase, and ever since then we've been calling it the universe. And so understand here that here we find the foundations for the God's construction of the universe. Not just Earth, but our whole solar system. Not just our whole solar system, but another million other solar systems. And not only another million other solar systems that fit together in a galaxy, but another million other galaxies until it just boggles your mind again. When they, in 1998, I think it was, they launched the Hubble telescope. And they peered off into space for the first time with lenses that were not hindered by our atmosphere. And that lens was built down here at Corning Glassworks, if you've ever gone down and see the mold that they made. And the blunder that they made in building it is also covered in the museum down there, and you just get to read about. It's an amazing thing, the miracle that they did to get the Hubble telescope to work. But when they focused that thing, finally in focus, and they peered off into the universe, I mean, it was like, whoa, there's things out there that we had never imagined. And in 1998, for the first time in the existence of God's universe, we understood that, hey, there are black holes out there. We'd never seen a black hole, because a black hole doesn't emit any light. We've never seen a... And you never will see a black hole, because a black hole doesn't emit any light. But you can see the effects of a black hole. And we saw that with that Hubble telescope and said, whoa, wait a minute. There's a black hole in every galaxy out there. Every galaxy. Has anyone ever looked at a galaxy through a telescope? I think I am, okay. There's several galaxies. There's a couple galaxies you can see with the naked eye, but you can't really make out their spiral shape. But if you just get any of the cheap Walmart telescopes, you can look out and you can pick out the stars of several galaxies here, even from upstate New York in the cloudy weather. You got to get between the clouds. But listen, God created a tremendous universe. And we're reading about the first day of creation. And so with a Hubble telescope, you could look out and say, whoa, it's unbelievable. But then you take a microscope and you look down and an electron microscope and you start looking at things that's inconceivable in the other direction. And understand that we're standing here in the middle of a micro world that is unbelievable. And a macro world that's indescribable, and God here put together the foundation for that on the first day of creation. You know what was here before the first day of creation? Neither do I. But I know that He created what we have out of nothing. And so again, understand when we read this verse, the enormity of it sometimes escapes us. In the beginning, God created the... Does your Bible say heaven or heavens? Everyone's Bible here says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, right? If you had a Hebrew Bible, it would also say that. If you had an NIV, ESV, ASV, or any other thing with a V behind it, it would say, in the beginning God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. Because the modernist scholar that translated all of those V versions, any modernist version, every modernist version, even the New King James blundered in this area. And they promised that they wouldn't change the words, okay? Liars. And so notice here again that it's not the heavens. And the modern scholar said, we know that the Bible says that there's three heavens, and so God must have misspoke. He meant to say that he created three heavens, and so they put in there that he created the heavens, plural. And they changed God's word. And then they copyrighted their change. And so I'm not at all pleased with anything that they've done in the Bible. But here it starts off in the first seven words of the Bible, first seven Hebrew words of the Bible, they couldn't even get them straight. And so again, here, God created the heaven and the earth. And again, I want you to understand that that description is so that you and I could comprehend what he did. If he was truthful about it, and there was not really a vocabulary framed up to say it this way yet, he could have said, in the beginning God created a three-dimensional space, and before there was not three-dimensional space. We all know three-dimensional space, north, south, up, no, north, east, up, and down, again, that's what we got. So the three dimensions that we live in, we're three-dimensional people. And there weren't those three dimensions before God created them, and he called them the heaven and the earth. He's not talking about a planet. There was no planet created on the first day. In fact, the more I study it, the more I think that all he created on the first day, as far as earth goes, was... Zach, what grade are you in? Seventh grade. Do you know what... proton and neutron is? That's ninth grade, I guess. We get to physical science again. So anyway, an atom, again, is a proton and a neutron, an electron. We've discovered that ever since the turn of the century. Again, when we figured that out, that, hey, everything that's made, all the molecules in this world, every element that's in our element table is made up of protons, electrons, protons, neutrons, and electrons, and that's it. Those are three little particles, and everything is made up of those three particles. And when you look at this beginning, in the beginning God created the heaven, space, and earth. Another word for earth is, if you're digging in the earth, it's dirt, okay? It's not necessarily a planet. Notice that there's no capital E on earth here. He did not create the planet earth on the first day. He created, I think he created, protons, neutrons, and electrons. And look at, he describes the condition of them. And the earth, that's that earth again, it's not a planet. And the earth was without form and void. And then look at the next sentence. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay. And so he's got these electrons and protons and neutrons, and they're in some kind of a deep, and it's dark there. That, by the way, is a good description of what we today call a black hole. It's a mixture of nothing, and it emits no light, and we call it a black hole, which is another chapter. And so notice here again, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Whoop, mine don't say that. What's yours say? Water. You know, water is not without form and void. Protons, electrons, and neutrons can be without form and void, but water is not without form and void. And so there's two things created here, and one is the Spirit of God moves on protons, neutrons, and electrons and forms them into water. Okay? Let's see how we did in school here. Anyone can tell me the chemical formula for water? H2O. Can someone tell me what that means?
Hydrogen, two parts oxygen.
Okay, that's the other way around. The little 2 is under the H, and then the 2 is for the hydrogen. So there's 2 hydrogen atoms and 1 oxygen atom. And I like to say that God didn't need to create the oxygen at him. He just threw that in there so fifth graders could understand what he was saying here. These first five verses are written on a fifth grade reading level. Oh, that I could write on a fifth grade reading level again. And so here we have a description on a fifth grade reading level of what God created as the foundation stones for the whole universe. And understand here on this first day, he created two, he put together two things and created light again. He put together a water molecule, which is two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen. The whole world, the whole foundation of our creation is built around water. It was interesting, again, in my research for my work, I've dug out that they have found in the mantle of the earth. We live on a little bit crust of the earth. It's, 20 miles thick. So you can drill a hole down in the earth 20 miles, and it's just rocks again. And so that's the outer crust of our planet. Our planet is cooling, by the way. And if it had cooled for a million years, it would be cold right now. Does that make sense? So our planet has not cooled for a million years. Our planet has cooled only for about 4,000 years since its creation. And so our planet is cooling, and as it does so, the crust is getting thicker. But inside of that crust is a molten core inside of the earth, and underneath, in the middle of that core, is water. A whole bubble layer of water is suspended inside the mantle of the earth. So that they figured out back in the first discovery was in 2007. I'm not going to get all this in, am I? In 2007, they threw Ken Hovind in jail for preaching that there was water under the earth. And the same year they threw him in jail, that they discovered that there's water under the mantle of the earth, just like he had preached in all of his creation seminars, which made the government hate him so much. And so notice again here that there's a layer of water still under the earth. And they said 3/4 of the earth's water is still down there. And if God wanted to break up the fountains of the deep, he could flood this whole earth again with water. It's all present. It's available. And then outside of our universe, we'll find out later, everything is in a shell of water. So the earth is in a shell of water. Our atmosphere is in a shell of water. And then our whole universe is in a shell of water. And what God created on the first day of creation was water. That's it. G.I. Schofield and Peter Ruckman and Lakin and a whole bunch of other geniuses who study the Word of God say, well, there had to be more to it than that. And they'll surmise that there was a whole civilization created and God then destroyed it and made it null and void. No, it doesn't say that. And listen, pay attention to this phrase. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And if he wanted to create a whole civilization and then destroy it on the first day, he could have, I'll grant you that. But he tells us what he did on the first day, and he created water and nothing more. There's no planet, there's no solar system. And so God created on the first day nothing but water. That's a foundation stone of the universe that he's putting together here. And so it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you look at the next phrase, it says, and God saw the light, and it was good. You've probably not spent a lot of time considering how good light was. You know again that light causes a rainbow. You know again that light, that white light coming from that light right there, has... anybody know who Roy G. Biv is? Colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. How many categories are there? Seven. That's a good guess. Okay. There are seven. Isn't it amazing that God made man's eyes so when he divided up the spectrum of light into different colors, there come out to be exactly seven? Did you know when we divide all the creatures or all the creations or all the kinds in this world, there comes out to be categories of seven? Some of you used to be able to name them. Kingdom, phylum, class. Ken plays chess on Fridays, getting suspended. And so, notice again that things break out in sevens pretty naturally in God's creation. And it's just amazing. Just studying them is amazing. But we're looking now at light. And light has seven little bands of frequency which we can separate with our eyes. And that's visible light. It's amazing that white light there comes in a package of seven colors. We have a Jackie wearing this. I'm not going to guess what color that is. Let's go with violet. Is that good? And so, the light comes down and all of that light is absorbed into that sweater top that you have on, except violet. That material that you're wearing rejects all violet light, and it bounces it back out. Everything else is absorbed, but the violet is rejected. And so when we look at it, then we see color violet, red, black. Really, how do we see black? We don't see black. It absorbs all of the light wave frequencies are absorbed, and it reflects none of it, and that's where black comes from. And what we don't know about colors fills the palette of a normal artist. That again, you can mix those colors, and you can make, we could make 256 different colors for your laptop to work on. And they only stop there because 256 is what, 2 to the 8th power, and that's how they separate their colors, and that's as high as they could go. And then they went up a couple more, and now some of them have 1,024 different colors that you could match. And so, listen, it's almost limitless how many colors are present, but our eyes can detect and separate the bands of light into seven colors. And you not only wonder about that, there's also, anyone ever heard of infrared? Ultraviolet. We know that there's colors beyond what we can see, and they're also present in light. And then we have radio waves and microwaves and gamma radiation and all of those other are electromagnetic waves. And listen, when God said it was good, He wasn't just messing around. And again, we have color. Kent Hovind, again, who always has colorful expressions, said, explaining the revelation that God would make, infinite God would make to a finite man, is like trying to explain color to a blind man. And I always remembered him saying that. And he said it again in his last interview that he had after he got out of wrongful imprisonment. But again, understand that. How would you explain color to a blind man? Listen, light, it was good. And it's better than good. Yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just some of the things we're familiar with and we can see every day. Understand that light, we call it then a wave that transports through space. And it can go from the sun through absolutely nothing of outer space. And it can reach the earth in only 8 minutes. So I was told in school that when I got up this morning and looked at the sunrise, it took 8 minutes for that ball of helium, burning helium, to get that light wave to the earth. And so what I was seeing was 8 minutes late. So the next morning, I got up 8 minutes early and checked. And sure enough, the sun didn't come up until after that 8 minutes was gone. Listen, it's hard for us to comprehend that, but again, light has a speed. And light propagates through nothing. How does it do that? A long time, man thought that light propagated through jello, and they thought outer space was filled with jello. They didn't call it jello. They didn't call it pudding. They called it what?
Ether.
Ether. So they thought outer space was filled with ether. Otherwise, how would the light get conducted down here to the earth? And so they thought the universe was filled with ether. And either it was or it wasn't. They figured out that they was wrong again. And so it propagates through nothing and it gets here. And it still takes 8 minutes for the sun sunrise in the morning to get from that ball to our planet Earth. Except in the wintertime. No, it's the same in the wintertime again. And so when we understand those things about light, it's a marvelous thing. But I want you to understand another thing about the velocity of light is that there's no greater velocity in all of God's universe. You cannot reach the speed of light. You cannot attain the speed of light. Albert Einstein put together theories of relativity, and his first one, again, was a special theory of relativity. And that said, again, that as we approach a speed of light, things get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And as we approach the speed of light, if we were to ever attain the speed of light, our three-dimensional space, all matter and physical matter that we could understand disappears. And so the Lorentz equation demonstrates again that reaching the speed of light causes again the universe to disappear. And so we can't comprehend some of that stuff. And when God said it was good, He knew that the speed of light, again, was the maximum attainable by mere man, by mere matter, by mere space. And that, again, when we approach the speed of light, space warps, time warps, mass warps, everything changes to warp drive, beam me up, Scotty. And so when we understand some of those things and God says it was good, it was good. Even though light, again, says we travels as a wave, electromagnetic wave going at a constant speed, it also goes as a particle called a photon. And that particle can again, penetrate in through and run into a solar cell and bump an electron out of orbit and cause it to flow and make electricity. And so, again, it doesn't do that as an electromagnetic wave. It does that as a photon. And so we don't know whether it's a photon moving very, very, very fast at the speed of light, actually, or if it's a electromagnetic wave. Listen, when God said it was good, unless you're a physicist, you haven't comprehended exactly how good yet. And again, when we start looking at some of the things that God said here about this creation on this first day, where's the sun? Has the sun been created yet? No. It's got a separate day. Now listen, pay attention. Has the planet Earth been created yet? The answer is no. It's yet coming up. On the first day of creation, God created two things. He put together from some kind of structure that was null and void. He put together water, H2O, two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom put together, cause water. And He put together light. And He said of light, it is good. And we don't hardly comprehend that statement. And so notice again how this closes. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. If you look into the Hebrew words, those are important. If you think about darkness in your Bible, it's represented of gloom. It's represented of evil. It's representative of ignorance, someone kept in darkness. If you think about light, Albert Einstein, it's attributed to Albert Einstein, did a dissertation as a student, again, about the fact that God did not create darkness. God did not create evil. Darkness is the absence of light, and evil is the absence of God. And so again, when we consider that there is no such thing as darkness, did God create darkness? No, darkness was on the face of the deep that He had created. But He did create light. Light pierces. You could never open your window at night and have darkness pierce into your room and make it dark in here. But listen, when you open your shades at night, the light in your room pierces out into the darkness. And so there's a lot of spiritual analogies given with this simple illustration of light being day and darkness being night. And it's carried throughout scriptures and it's pointed out here on his first day. And so look, there's no... And the evening, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Again, all the scholars disagree with that statement. And I'd rather just hang on to what God says and believe every word than follow anything any scholar says today after their twisted Bibles. But again, understand here that there's no planet, there's no sun. And I don't know how there's an evening and a morning. There's no place for the sun to set to make an evening. And there's no sun to rise up in the morning and cause a morning. And so, even though there's no planet, there's no solar system, there's no sun, God's description is, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and I tend to believe Him rather than anybody else. And this day was a day. There's a lot of people who try to placate the atheistic evolutionist and say, okay, maybe rocks are a billion years old, and so we have to squeeze a billion years into the first day. No, don't do that. God's day was an evening and a morning, and it's been the days ever since then. And they've been broken into a seven-day period ever since this creation day. And so again, understand when he says there's a evening and a morning, and there's no sun, I'll just take his word for it. He's the one that was there. He's the creator. He put all this together. He made it out of nothing. And if he says that making water and light was a day's work, I'm thinking that he knows what he's talking about more than we do. We don't yet understand everything that's in a water molecule. Water, again, as we said, is made up. There's an oxygen molecule. An oxygen molecule has 8 electrons in it. There's 2 inside of an inner shell, and then there's 6 left on the outside of an outer shell. And God made it so that they're not happy unless there's 8. And so oxygen is not a happy molecule unless it adds 2 electrons. And here comes a hydrogen. A hydrogen's the simplest of all atoms. It's a proton, a neutron, and an electron. That's it. 3 little things tied together, a proton and a neutron, an electron, they're tied together. And they come over to this oxygen atom that says, boy, I sure wish I had 2 more electrons in my outer shell. And this hydrogen says, boy, I wish I had 7 more electrons in my outer shell. And they pop together, and it takes 2 of them to do that, and we end up with H2O, water. God created that and nothing more on the first day of his creation. And that's a big deal. The more we understand that little proton and that little neutron, again, over in Europe someplace, they've got an accelerometer and they accelerate protons around and they smash them into things. Now that they've gotten so that they can accelerate neutrons around and they can smash them into things, and guess what they found out that about a proton and a neutron is down inside of them is more particles. And so we picture an atom here of this wood or a crystal that's in this wood structure, and inside of that crystal is a atom, and that atom is made up of nothing but protons, electrons, and neutrons. And that's it, and it's mostly empty space. And again, once we take that proton or neutron, we don't have time to do all this, but you know, if you take a proton and kick out one of its electrons, it turns into a neutron. If you take a neutron and cram in somehow an electron, it turns into a proton. That's deep. That's called radioactivity, okay? It's happening all the time all around us here that these protons and neutrons are changing into things. And when they do that, there's a tremendous amount of energy, gamma radiation, alpha and beta radiation, released when those things happen. And so again, we're just now beginning to understand some of the structure that he put into the atoms of this world. And now we're breaking down the protons and neutrons and finding out that they aren't made up of anything more than other particles. And so now we've got an ability to smash a proton and look at the particles that come out of it. And not only that, we've taken those particles and looked inside of them, and there's something called string theory. You know what's inside of them? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing in there. It's called a string of energy. And so when God spoke the world into existence and made it out of nothing, here we are, 1,900 years plus 4,000 years is 1,900, 4,000, almost 6,000 years in, and we're just figuring out that mass is made out of nothing. Matter is made out of nothing. It's just energy folded in on energy. That's all it is. There's nothing in there but energy. And it could easily be spoken into existence. Listen, he could easily speak it out of existence. And by him, all things consist. And it's only his consisting that causes, again, that the matter that we see in this world. And what really matters about matter is some of it makes you. Some of it makes me. Some of it causes, again, that most of us here have a couple brain cells that get close enough together to rattle around a little bit and come up with rational thought. Listen, God created all of that out of water and nothing more. And so the first day, his creation act was to create water and to create light. That's a big deal. And when you limit God to what he says, you notice again, there's not a lot of room to fit an allegorical discussion in there. The Roman Empire came up with an allegorical interpretation so that they could get rid of the Jews out of God's Bible. And that allegorical interpretation has been pretty popular by man ever since. And we think, well, God, there's hidden meanings, there's secret things in your Bible. God didn't put anything secret or hidden in your Bible. He put some things that take some study to show yourself approved unto God. But again, there's nothing hidden in there. There's no secret hidden meanings that only some clergy in Rome could understand. God gave us his word and he says what he means and he means what he says. And it's clear here that there's no hidden meanings about the first day, nor the time frame of the first day. There's no secret gap inserted between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. There's no secret time period that can be discerned only by the scholars that really understand. Those are all compromises that man has added to God's creation account so that they could appease the scientists who believe in atheistic evolution. Listen, I ain't going to go there. I'm just going to say God says what he means and he means what he says, and we always need to take it that way. And when you find someone that reads things between the lines, just back away, be very careful. There are things you can read between the lines and see some things that God doesn't tell us, but he doesn't keep any secrets. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, Deuteronomy 29. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the things that are commanded of us. And so God has given us a revelation. And the way to take God's revelation is straightforward, literal, understanding that he says what he means. And he means what he says. Genesis 1 through 5 is the creation foundation of the universe. But let me go back to the first seven words of your Hebrew Bible. The first seven words of the Hebrew Bible say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That is, again, the time continuum, the space continuum, and the matter continuum. God put them together with his spoken word, and it was an act of creation. And notice that God is identified there. Again, if we wax rational just a minute here again, one more time, and say, if God created them, is he part of them? No. God, the creator of a time continuum, a mass continuum, and a space continuum, he has got to be outside of that to do the creation. And so we worship a God that's omnipotent, and omniscient and omnipresent. And he is not restricted to our three-dimensional space. He's not restricted to our three tenses of time, past, present, and future. He's not restricted to our matter that we find in this universe. He is the uncaused cause, if you've ever heard that in your theology books. And so as we study again creation, understand that those first seven words reveal a lot. And sometimes we just overlook them. We tried to give some memorized scriptures here, and I, boy, so bad wanted to again give Genesis 1, 1 through 5. But God, again, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, that Word again. Of course, we know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, praise you again and thank you. We're marveling at some things here and ask again that you'd accept our worship as we stand in awe of what you've revealed to us. And we want to tell you that we believe every word and we're trusting you on every word. And though all of science goes taken off in a whole new direction, though even a lot of Christendom has taken off in a wrong direction, I pray again that you'd tug on our heart, that we just hold on to your book and, Father, find your promise true that blessed is the man that trusts in your word. Father, we're trusting. We ask that you touch each heart that's here today with your hand. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing for our invitation, 308 out of our bulletin. 308, all to Jesus I surrender. Let's stand and we'll just sing first verse. When we surrender to Jesus, we're surrendering to the Creator who created all of this with the spoken word. And of all the universe, there's a tiny, tiny little speck in that called the earth. There's a tiny, tiny little speck on that earth called Dresden. And the inside of that is a church house, and inside of that is you. And God loves you. Out of all the universe, He loves you and wants to walk with you and talk with you. Always marvel and wonder at our God and always surrender all. All to Jesus.